The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Go live, and then...
Hey, what's going on, everybody? Welcome back to the Circle Chat here on Reality NSFW. I'm Elaine Stott from Season 39 of Survivor. As always, my co-host, Professor Tim Wilson from Season 2 of the UK Circle. And today we got James, a.k.a. Gemma, from the Season 3 of the UK Circle. Thanks for coming on. The gladiator himself is in the building.
So.
James, you're going to say.
I just caught season 39 there. Season 39.
Oh, yeah, yeah. they're actually filming 41 right now, incredible. So there's two more after me.
It makes a nonsense of the excuse that Channel 4 have put up to cancel the version of the Circle. Oh, after three series, we need to give an opportunity for something else. Well, that clearly wasn't Probst's idea in Survivor. You know, 39, no. 40. What are we on now in Survivor?
They're filming 41 in Fiji.
There you are,
right,
you
now.
See.
And yeah, they're going strong. So,
so 41. James, after amazing. I came out of the Circle, I promised that I would. Because I knew nothing about reality TV, I promised I'd sort of immerse myself in it, and I agreed to do this podcast and to look at every series of Survivor from the beginning. And I'm up to series 3, oh, wow. I think. So I'm nowhere near Elaine.
Yeah, he's been doing it for like 2 years now. He's on series 3.
He's gonna be 100 years old.
Yeah, I know. Well, I'm going to be 60 on Wednesday, so that's a first start. But James, haven't you got this thing about fit at 40? You've been promoting this.
I started that a while. I'm 47 now. So when I turned 40, I brought out a DVD, Fit at 40, and it's just when people get to that kind of age, they tend to have families and they tend to have let themselves go a bit from when they were in their 20s, and it's about still being able to make changes, not just to look different, but to extend your life, be pain-free, mm-hmm. Have better mobility, just simple tasks like picking something up off the floor. When you get older, starts to become a lot harder. So it was really pushing that, you know, we don't have to be 20 years old to jump around and do all these exercises, but when you're 40, it's a really important time to stay aware and keep motivated and stay in shape.
Why didn't I know you when I was 40, James?
Well, I was 20, so I was jumping around and doing all these aerobics at that point.
It would have been fine. I think I saw you on the television anyway, but and then I was round about 40 when you were a gladiator.
That's right.
I was your target audience, James.
Yeah. Because I joined at 19, and Wolf was 42, so he was actually 2 years older than you.
Oh my goodness! And
wow.
But wasn't who is the person who's so Wolf is the person who's the oldest gladiator, isn't he? And then you had Rhino.
I'm 47 now. I think he's a Ryan. Yeah, I mean. There was about, they changed throughout, but there was normally about 12 us, 8 to 12, 8 men, 8 women, or 6 men, 6 women. It changed over the 9 years, the actual amounts, but that was the average.
It's the same as the American Gladiator, because I've never seen it. I just, Tim said it was the same as the American Gladiator.
Which one was first, James?
Well, the American Gladiator is based on the film Running Man with Arnold Schwarzenegger. He gets put into that maze and he has to fight for his life against all these kind of superhero-style characters. And somebody saw that in America and created this concept where they had these kind of guys and girls who were superheroes in these outfits and they looked different and they had big muscles and long hair, you know, and all of this. And the Americans made it very sporting, you know, because the Americans were so into American football, that kind of thing. So it was like a sporting event. And when they brought it over to England, they decided they wanted to give it a bit more razzmatazz. So they gave us like, intro music and cheerleaders and 10,000 people watching.
Oh, really?
So it was a very different look. Yeah, it was a very different look to the American one, just because it was a bigger scale and it was a bit more razzmatazz, that's all.
And it was filmed just down the road.
Shows, some internationals.
Yeah.
I need to watch it. Yeah,
the NIA in Birmingham.
And the international stuff, so you had, so there was a British version, there was an American version, and a Russian version.
Yeah, at one point we had 12 or 15 countries. It was huge in Australia, huge in South Africa, huge in America. They were the kind of main three. But then we had gladiators in Russia, in Germany, in Nigeria, you know, all over the place. They all came over to the NIA and we did this international gladiator special, which was quite something.
Michael, and were you taking on Mr. Putin? you didn't get an opportunity to go.
They brought. No, he didn't come. But it was quite interesting when the Russians came. They were quite a unique setup. But their gladiators were. I think it was Russian strongest man that came over, so he was quite a sight.
Yeah.
And
the
other guy was a movie star over there. So yeah, yeah. I mean, it was an amazing people to meet. I mean, I really enjoyed meeting the Russians because they had such unique stories.
Is that show still on? Is it still on? Can you watch Gladiators now?
I'm not sure if it's on in. It comes and goes, but it is not in any countries at the moment. I'm not, because it got so well spread. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure if it's on anywhere at the moment. I know it was going on in UAE, you know, in the Dubai and all around there. They were the last ones I knew that had a series going.
I need to watch it. I need to watch it. I enjoyed the American version of it. I used to watch it all the time when I was a kid. I didn't know that it was in other places, you know what I mean? And that's kind of why I enjoy talking to people from different places, is because I learn all kinds of things that I had no idea was going on. It's like I'm in this little bitty small town of Kentucky, and like all these things are going on outside in different countries and this, that, and the other, and I ain't got no idea, you know? So it's interesting to like learn new stuff like that. And I'm gonna have to look that up, man. I'm curious to watch it and compare it to what I know.
Yeah, I mean, I'm in touch with Nitro. Do you remember Nitro?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, so me and him have became quite good friends, and we're still doing some stuff together. Yeah,
that's awesome. So I need a signature. I think I got some gladiator toys somewhere. If I can find them, I'm going to send it to you.
The big
stick. Oh, he's going to get one. See, I think it's cool.
This.
Really?
Leave home without this.
Oh, can I see? Oh my goodness, no!
Awesome. That's awesome.
Check this head out. So to get the hair and the head, it's the same as, you know, when they make the coins, they get the queen's head, and they it was exactly the same laser cut. So that is my exact profile there.
Wow.
So we all had the same bodies. We all had the same bodies, even the girls, but we all had the exact profiles. So that was quite fun.
That's hilarious. That's cool, though. That's cool. I would love to have an action figure. That's awesome.
You'll have an action figure, Elaine.
Well, I did have someone make me, they call it, it's like a little bitty, I had to go get it. It's a little bitty pop-up thing. It's got my hat on it, my little immunity necklace I won. Somebody from Survivor, his name's Todd Herzog, who actually won season China. I don't remember the number or whatever, but he makes those. So he made me one. My wife bought it. It's super cool, but it's like this tall, you know, and I got a big old head. So it's like a bobblehead. It's cool though. I advise people to buy one.
We must all have them. I think we must have a pop-up Tim as well.
Yeah. But,
I would definitely buy a Tim doll. Definitely.
Yeah, it would.
It would have to come with interchangeable outfits, though. Like,
yeah, but not really. It could just be an alternative for Santa. You know, you could put him on the tree over Christmas.
Right.
Right. but the Gladiator was also controversial. I mean, you know, a lot of people got injured. And who was it? It was Panther, I think, wrote a book or did a series when games go horribly wrong or something. Is that right? Or was it Panther?
I mean, the thing is, it's a contact sport, isn't it? And nothing was rehearsed. It was contender versus gladiator. There was no right, can you go down in 10 seconds? It was right, you go against each other and that's it. And obviously there was a lot at stake for the contestants. There was a big prize money and they come a long way to get there. And we had 10,000 contestants. And out of that, there was about 30 came in. So it was a big for them. And we didn't want to lose because the gladiators' jobs were at stake. You know, we felt we had to constantly win. So it was like a professional rugby match or something like that. There's always going to be injuries. But yeah, we did have, I mean, I dislocated my shoulder 6 times on that show. But we did have, you know, broken legs. We had a couple of broken necks or fractured necks. Three of the gladiators or four maybe had to leave the show because of injuries. So yeah, it was, I mean, it was the same with the American show though. It was very injury high, and even coming from a professional sport, because I know I spoke to the Americans who've been American footballers, and they said that they got more injuries during gladiators just because it was such an intense movement in 60 seconds. Whereas if you're on a playing field, a rugby match or American football, it's 60, 80 minutes or whatever. So, you know, you've got that break, but here you do as many rugby tackles in a minute as you would in half a game of rugby. Right. So it was, but we knew that it was all part of the sport really.
So were you a rugby player when you were younger?
No, I really struggled because I was a bodybuilder. They found me on a bodybuilding stage in a magazine. And when I first joined Gladiators, I was very unathletic. So I had to, I kind of went in the first year a bit like a deer in headlights and didn't really know what I was doing. And then, because I was the youngest by quite a long way, I and it was like having all these older brothers around me, I had to prove myself next year. So I trained like Rocky Balboa twice a day for 12 months. I came back and I was just like this completely
ripped. That's awesome, though. You put in the work. You put in the work.
Yeah.
And so you'd go into
because I was very competitive. So
right. But you still are, James.
Yeah, you can take it from the circle.
Yes,
competitive
kind of fitness now. Yeah.
I so can you just talk me through one of the gladiators games shows? So you'd film on one day of the week, and that was it. So you just work on one day.
This was part of the problem, Tim, is that we'd film 2 shows a day, 2 days on, 1 day off. So we'd do a show at 1 o'clock, a show at 7 o'clock. The shows took about 5 or 6 hours. So we'd do 2 days on, 1 day off, 2 days on, 1 day up, 1 day off. So it was a very arduous schedule. So we filmed the whole series in about two and a half weeks.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, so I can see why you guys got injured so much.
Right.
That's... Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
So you were excessively tired. And you were putting in long hours. So weren't you in some ways prepared for the long hours of the circle?
Well, the thing is, I think because someone like me who's been in sport for such a long time, sleep is quite an important factor. And one of the things they didn't tell me about the circle was the hours were going to be so crazy. I think actually, looking back, that's what the thing I struggled with most is that I go to bed quite early. And I'd be getting up there at like 8 o'clock with the dogs, maybe a little bit earlier. And then an early night there would be 1 in the morning and a late night would be 4 in the morning. And we might do 4 late nights a week. And that for me was the biggest factor which caused problems for me because I just wasn't mentally prepared for that when I watched it. You know, they didn't tell me that.
Yeah. Right.
I didn't find the late night's a big problem because I routinely stay up until sort of 3, 4, 5 o'clock in the morning.
Right. You're
and then I get up at 7 or 8. I just think if Mrs. Thatcher could do it and run the country, we could possibly add an adverb there, badly or well, depending on your point of view. Then so could I. I mean, you know, I don't think it does very much for your health.
No, it plays on your mind, I'm sure. I know it did on Survivor. But the sleep was a big, big thing.
But what I hadn't factored in, so I didn't mind the hours. What I hadn't factored in was the fact you have to make these sort of intense decisions at the same time, and you've got somebody shouting at you from the ceiling, the voice of God, literally the voice of God. I mean, you know, if I walked into the street and a tree burst into flames and started speaking to me, I would just take it as natural. I've already had that experience, you know. God speaks to me routinely and did all the time through the circle. I was rather. Did you find it difficult getting used to the fact that God was no longer talking to you when you came out, James?
Well, I think calling it the voice of God is a bit of a mind mess anyway, isn't it? I mean, calling it that sets you up for...
doesn't it?
And what I found with this voice is they were great. They were very chatty. But if I was in a, you know, tired or not in a great mood, they kept making me take stuff. So often I was on like 3 takes to do a reaction. reaction to something on the screen where, you know, a boxer turned up for a party. James, we need more enthusiasm. I'm going, well, I've been sat doing nothing for 3 hours. It's now 2:30 in the morning and you want me to be excited to dress up as a cowboy singing La Bamba, you know? So I had quite a lot of fallouts with my voice, but yeah, it was a very strange setup having that. And I think the late nights mixed with that and then having constantly been told to retake stuff, I just found was a little bit set up, you know?
Yeah.
So why do you think they do it like that? Why not just run a normal schedule? Like you wake up at 8, do this. Why do you think they run it like they do? You think it's because of the emotional strain it takes?
After the show finished, I had a lot of messages from contestants. What would you call them? Contenders.
I try to avoid the word contestant. I use the word participant or performer. But please go on, James.
Because I was quite vocal about my experience in there, and I know a lot of them weren't, but they'd messaged me and that some had nightmares, some had therapy, I mean, some had death threats. So all these things built, and they were all messaging me. So I decided to meet up with the production. I said, right, guys, I'm going to go and chat to them and get all this out there. And I kind of gave him all the issues I felt were there with the manipulation and this and that. And he just looked me in the eye and he said, James, it's not manipulated, it's produced.
Yes, and I
showed him all these messages from the contestants and he just started shaking. And I said, well, you say that, but everybody's in the same boat here. Why have you got these crazy late nights? And they just said, well, we can't fit everything in to the filming day. And I said, but the trouble is you're messing, all the contestants had issues with this. And I said, you're messing with their mental health here in the sense that they're staying up later and late. At one point, we were all getting strepsils. We had to get doctors to give us strepsils because everybody's throats were closing up and we were all getting ill because we were just having lack of sleep. And they think their argument is it's because they can't fit everything in, but you know, they really need to change the filming schedule because what's happening is people are reacting badly to certain aspects of the show because they're just literally dead on their feet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, what? Go ahead, Tim.
No, please, Elaine.
Well, I was going to say, like, if you're sitting around for 2 or 3 hours, how do you not have time? You know what I mean? Like that, that's like a, what's it called? Like, is it an oxymoron? It's like, yo, we don't have enough of time, but you've spent 4 hours sitting doing nothing. So I'm not good at math, but you know what I'm saying? Like that just don't make sense to me. So,
I mean, what they,
I think
what
it's intentional, honestly.
Is that they're doing chats with other people. Their argument is, sorry, because I've got a bit of a delay here, so I don't mean to speak over you. But they say that they're filming certain things here and they're doing chats here. But the truth is they have two productions come through. So our one day is two sets of... So they have this three-hour gap where there's a changeover with different producers. Mm-hmm. You know, we had two producers, not just one. So they're basically starting the shift when we've already been doing some filming for like 7 or 8 hours. And then the second shift starts and the second seven-hour stint film. So... My view is always they need to change. They need to make some changes to that to make it less stressful for contestants.
Right. Yeah.
They should start earlier on in the day. I mean, I routinely get up at about 7 or 8 o'clock. Sometimes I'm a little lazy. So I wasn't able to do that. No. Recently, in moments of manic depression, reading all this stuff and trying to watch episodes of The Circle, I found myself in bed at 10 o'clock in the morning. But in principle, I like to get up quite early, and so I found myself, you know, it doesn't matter what time I go to bed, I still get up at that time, and they wouldn't let me get up. They say, no, you have to remain in bed. So I would sing through whatever musical was in my mind from the first song right the way through to the last closing credits. And so they had, 20 odd Broadway tracks. You know, the whole of The Sound of Music with Nuns.
You could have cut the CD, Tim. You could have used them and cut a CD.
I was told by my voice of God that I had an audience, which pleased me enormously. I thought, you know, if I'm not going to be in the West End, I might as well have an audience in the Circle.
That's why they're not getting stuff done. Everybody's hanging out in Tim's room listening to this guy sing every morning. That's why they can't get anything done.
Fiddler on the Roof, Zorba. You know, I'm just thinking, these are the parts I could do. Maria is slightly beyond me, I think, in The Sound of Music. But I could cut a really good old nun. But Anyway, no. So look, we've got some questions flashing up here, by the way. Somebody, Mikey Peters, is saying, I feel the first two shows were good. The third took a darker turn. We'll go down there. Don't worry. The difference between production and manipulation, I can't. And then there's a smiley face or something. The definition is one and the same, says Claire Dawson. Well, the person you were talking to is a person I wanted to join us here, a fellow called Tim Harkett, who's the person who invented the circle. So I'm slightly miffed that he isn't here. But in fact, I've been asking for the last month to have people from the USA season. In fact, they've been contacting me and asking me to be part of this show. And their PR company, which seems to be linked to the PR company that managed things so interestingly in Britain, has just gone silent. And the only message I've got is that they've sent a message over to the PR people in the UK. So I just assume my name is Mud. So let's continue dumping ourselves in the mud. James, in this mud wrestling fest, tell me what. One of the things that I've always got a problem with when I start discussing the circle or reality TV, and I think reality TV needs some serious reform, and in fact that reform I think needs to happen at a government level. There was a committee in Parliament assembled, and it only sat briefly, and only four contestants, people who were involved in reality shows actually gave testimony, and they were from two different shows. So four people from two shows testified, and this was considered a comprehensive and far-reaching investigation. I think it's sort of twaddle, really. And it needs to be reconvened, and the Ofcom regulations, which have been trumpeted as being new, are nothing new. They're simply recognising what's already going on. So we need to get the government to rethink. And we need some sort of guidance, or we're going to end up with more suicides and more mental health problems. Yeah. But every time I discuss this, I come across the same problem. What is the difference between a reality TV show and a game show? So, James, you are the only person I know who's been on both. So can you tell me, what do you think is the...
Gladiators... Gladiators was kind of an early reality show. Because you imagine we're taking these contestants from a normal background who've just been athletic, been sporty, they've passed the test, they follow their families, they follow their story, they come in, they film them from start to finish, and it's as it is, it's real. You know, there's no fixing, there's no, you're going against the gladiator and this. And as someone like myself, who's very competitive, one of the draws to why I went on the circle was I thought, right, I've got this competitive element to try and get away with being a girl and, you know, being competitive. And what I realized very early on when I was on there, that it wasn't me playing the game at all. I was a chess piece or a puppet for the producers. And this is why I got, you could see I was getting more and more frustrated in there, because I realized that it's not a competition for me. I was just a pawn in the game of chess, and my decisions were being altered. You know, things were being retaken. And that mixed with like crazy late nights, I was just exploding. And even some of the contestants said to me, because obviously you're only seeing so much of the chats that go on, because there are a lot of other chats. And they said, we could really feel you changing with your conversation as towards the latter shows, because I was just literally so over it. I was just like, you know, I need to kind of get out of here. So for me, The Circle is not a reality show. It's a show for the producers with puppets of contestants, whereas Gladiators is a reality game show where we're following the reality of the contestants, and it's a game show that's fully and utterly real. I remember the producer Nigel Lithgow talking to me in an early show, and he said, "The moment people think this is fixed, we're off air, and that's it. Nothing will be fixed in the show." And that was the joy of it. It is anything could happen.
But, right. What's so interesting is, you know, the Circle would be off air if Lithgow applied the same principles to that. Big Brother would be off air because all of these reality shows have got an element of staging. I mean, maybe there's a syllable missing in reality show. Maybe we should put the word un or the un-reality show. But do you, in a game show, was there somebody...
They just need to be a bit more upfront with the contestants.
Yeah, sorry, I agree. I agree.
Let them know beforehand, we're gonna twist this. This will be produced differently. And if they'd been a bit more honest with me at the beginning, you know, I mean, the real blowout for me was at the end where I had to choose who I wanted to see. And yeah. I chose to see someone and I said, I don't want to see this person. And they said, no, you're seeing this person. I said, I don't want to see this person. Simple as yeah. that. And they just said, no, the best ending for you is seeing them. And I went in there and you can see, because people said, why were you sat on the edge of the sofa? And it was because I was so uncomfortable. I just wanted to walk out because I realized I'd been set up by them half three right. in the morning. And this is the problem that was happening is that, you know, this was me just dying inside thinking, why have they set me up? Like, why have I come right. on a show where I'm just being treated like a puppet?
See yeah. that, dude, I'm so glad you said that. Cause honestly, when I watched your season, in the beginning, I thought, well, he's kind of cool, you know? And then like you said, I think as you got more angry, I started turning against you. I was like, I don't yeah. really like this guy. I think he's yeah. a douche. Oh, yeah. And then by the end, when you sat down with Manrika and you was like, I was like, yo, get this. I don't like him. You know what I mean? Like I'm so glad you explained that. Because that makes so much sense to me now as to why you went from, all right, he's cool, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
to where you were at the end. Like, that totally makes sense to me now. Sorry, well, sorry for thinking
two,
you were a douche,
reasons,
by the way.
Really,
sorry about that.
Which really stood out. And there was the picture round where we had to draw pictures anonymously. Mm-hmm. And they encouraged the contestants to be unkind in the picture round. And I had a meeting with the producers here. And I said, well, I go around schools. I went around a school once where a child committed suicide because kids drew a picture of him as a fat tubby and he threw himself on a train track. And I said, you know, this is what something I used to do. And you're encouraging us to be unkind to each other, mm-hmm. to provoke emotion. And it was about then I nearly walked off the show. I said, this is what I signed up for. Ah, no, no. And that's why the picture round, and again, you probably thought I was affected by the picture round, but it wasn't because she drew a picture of me. It was because I was so disappointed that production were encouraging right. unkind behavior, almost bullying on the show. And it really, for someone like me that's been working with children for so many years and been going around schools and seen how it can affect people, suddenly I'm in a show where it's encouraged.
Yeah.
Right.
And,
right.
You can't afterwards then turn around and say, oh, we don't want bullying because this is a
right.
this is a demonstration of bullying and it comes across.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah.
I think the anonymous thing, I think that's all it is they do that. And like you said, I guess pushing it from behind the scenes, but they do that. So there is cruelty. So there is like a bit of a drama when there is none. They're creating drama. And I think that's bullshit. So excuse my French.
But,
it's bullshit.
But,
you shouldn't do that.
Yeah,
that's not right.
Yeah, but there were so many instances in Series 3 in the UK where I think it went beyond what is acceptable. There was the cloning. I had a chat with the producers and I told them there were ways to do this which would be ethical and fun, but the way it was done was savage. You could not have survived that, James.
The assassination,
you could not have survived that.
I think because I was playing a clone anyway, I don't think that would have faced me too much. But I think for themselves, maybe it would be a bit more of an annoyance. But I don't think that would have been. I can see what they were trying to do. Just trying to add different twists to the show, and some twists worked, I think, and some twists maybe were a little on the edge. And
yep.
everybody's different to what affects them. For me, it was more. It was, you know, I think that would have affected me as much as the decision being changed and encouraging, you know, unkind, bad bullying behavior or whatever right. you want to call it. But, you know, we're all different beasts to what yeah. it's those kind of cords on our bodies that make you go, hang on a sec, I'm not comfortable right. with this.
You see, the thing that I find so extraordinary and the reason why I really wanted to get Tim on the show is because I think that the concept of the circle is one of the most refreshing show ideas that I've come across in a very, very long time. Maybe, you know, I've just been sort of stuck in a little cabinet and haven't seen very much television. But this struck me. This was a program. It was sold to me as a program about friendship, and it struck me as being absolutely about that. And it was very, very positive. And suddenly, in your series, it took a nosedive into something very, very dark. And I had a wonderful time while I was in the show. I'm sorry to contrast that with yours, James, but I had a whale of a time. And my Voice of Gods were delightful. And you know, I couldn't really fault the show in any way. I knew it had taken a route which I didn't really like very much, but that was a route taken by the other players, by the other performers. Mm-hmm. I feel that the show producers sort of looked at what happened at the end of season two and thought, ah ha ha, this is the way to go. But if you look at the statistics for the viewing figures for season one, season two, and season three, and I've only had a very quick look today, and it's not me. Vethan showed me some of this, but it seems to me that the high points, the points where the audience really responds, are the points where you've got feel good telly. Like Vethan.
Oh, I got hundreds of messages, Tim, of people turning off because they were just uncomfortable with the viewing. They felt it had gone too far. I'm literally hundreds of messages.
Oh, me too. And you know, because you want that feel good moment. And the other thing that I found so distressing about season three was all centered around you, James. Your dogs. I just wanted to see more of your dogs. Now, no, let me get the names right. One of them is called Smudge.
Oh, hang on a sec.
Smudge. I love that name.
Little's just had an operation on her cruise ship.
Little, really?
Oh,
my goodness, poor thing.
She's just had a cruise.
So it's Little and Smudge, is that right?
I love dogs, man. I'm coming to your house just to hang out with your dogs.
Aren't they gorgeous? Oh. Aren't they gorgeous?
Yeah, she's just had a cruise ship. Yeah, they're very sweet.
Yeah, I was in the vet this morning. My cat's got a problem with her paw, with his paw.
Since you brought up your cats and your dogs, how is it that they can have representation for animals over in the UK and have such thing as animal insurance, which we don't have here in the US, but you can't support your performers, participants, your contestants? Like how does that happen? It's like, yo, let's give medical insurance to these animals and cats and dogs, but screw the people. Let's do that. Like, what's? I don't understand it. I don't get it.
Bay would be happy with that approach. I mean, he got plenty of air conditioning as a result. But James, tell me, what do you think? Did your dogs get preferential treatment?
And I have to say, one thing about my experience on the show is the dogs were so well looked. I mean, they were like, they had their own dog camera.
James, I have a question from one of our viewers. So it's a lady called Becky Rupa, I think. So it's, how did the circle take care of your dogs as you couldn't leave the circle? So James, go on.
Yeah, did they take them outside?
Yeah, that's actually the question I got asked most.
Yeah.
When three walks a day. Or if we had one of those crazy nights, which was often, then they'd go out a fourth time just before bed. But they fell into the routine. They're like, you know, water. They'll just fall into whatever they're put into. So they just, we became a bit of a dog pack, which when I got back home was quite difficult because they wanted to sleep with me all, because they ended up sleeping in the same room as me. And my house is, you know, I've got upstairs, and it was very hard. I had to wean them off it because they were whining in the night because they were so used to following me around.
Yeah. So I want to just let him sleep in the bed. Just let him sleep with you.
The highlight for me of the circle was the dog time I had with them, because, you know, but you know what it's like being a dog owner. They really become like your children, don't they? And I had such a nice bonding with them and such a nice special time with them that was really the highlight. But they were very well, you know, they really did go out the way to look after them more than anything. They really sorted that out.
When I went on Survivor, when I come home, my wife was like, if you don't want to go back to work right now, you don't have to. You can just stay home. So I've been home now for about 2 years. I live on a 100-acre farm, but I just take care of the farm, really. And now, you know, I was telling my wife, I was like, maybe I should go back to work. You know, like it might be time for me to go back to work. And she's like, well, who's going to stay with Chewy? That's her little dog. She's like, who's going to stay with Chewy during the day? She would miss you. She's like, you should just stay home. So now basically she wants me to stay home to babysit the dog because she don't want the dog to be alone. So I know exactly what you're talking about. Yeah. I worked in a factory making car parts for 15 years. I worked actually on the line, basically, you know, walking the line, running a press machine, you know, doing different stuff for 12 years. And for the past 3 years, I had been on a fork truck. And before I got on Survivor, I had put on about 50 pounds because I went from walking all the time, you know, actually running the line to setting down. So I put on 50 pounds and then Survivor called me and wanted me to come play the game. And I'm like, yo, you couldn't have called me 20 years ago when I tried out in college, when I was in shape, super fit. I was in sports. You wait till I'm like the biggest I've ever been in my life, out of shape beyond belief. That's when they pick up the phone and call me. But I wouldn't take it back, man. That extra weight I had when I went into Survivor, It done me pretty well because there were people on my season that were starving.
I can imagine, yeah.
And I had storage. I was good.
I can imagine someone like me would massively suffer on that show because the lack of sleep, the lack of food.
Right.
Someone that eats every 2 hours, yeah.
Yeah, Aaron Meredith was on my season, and he was a personal trainer. He owns a few gyms and this, that, and the other. And he was used to, like you, just eating all the time, you know, so many calories a day, this, that, and the other. To go to that from that to eating, like, two bowls of rice, literally the size of a coconut, like, you put it in a coconut shell, and that's what you eat. And then whatever coconuts you can find, he was dying and just muscle was just melting off of him. Yeah, and I was sitting over here. I was looking better every day. You know what I mean? I was slimming up, looking good. You know what I mean?
And I think I had to put your leg between two coconuts and had to go on that.
That's what I'm saying. So like I, the fact that I was a little heavy. And so that's what I tell people. It's like, you know, cause everybody makes excuses for why they don't do things. And like for trying out for Survivor, people's usually like, well, I'm going to get in shape and then I'm going to make a tape or I'm going to do this or and then I'm going to make a video. Yeah. And I was like, yo, don't wait. Just do it. Because that extra weight you got, you know, being out of shape or whatever, it can actually help you out. You know what I mean? So I always encourage people, don't put it off. Just go ahead and do it and then figure the rest out later. So when I went on the show, I dropped 20 pounds right before I went because I was super, super out of shape. And I quit smoking cold turkey when I got on the plane. And I got out there. I lost 25 pounds out there. And then as soon as I got voted out on day 35, I went straight to what's called the Ponderosa. They put a Corona in my hand and I was looking for a pack of cigarettes. I was like, yo, give me a cigarette. I need a cigarette. You know, so, but it was great, dude. I had the best time in the world. But yeah, them few extra pounds, being a little chunky, it totally helped me out. It helped big time.
I had a few friends who tried to swim the channel and they had to put on 3 stone to do it. Because, you know, to swim the channel, you cover yourself in goose fat and you have to have enough weight because otherwise you just freeze. And one of them, he was an Olympic swimmer and he couldn't put enough weight to actually do the swim because that's the only way to do it without a wetsuit.
Wow. Really? Now, I ain't trying to swim no channel now. I like to swim, but I was on Survivor. Next challenge. Yeah. I almost got bit in the face by a shark. You know how people go spearfishing and stuff like that? I was like, oh, I'm going to go spearfishing, you know, because I'm redneck. I like to do stuff like that. I was like, I'm going to go spearfishing and do all these amazing things. I went out there and I caught one little fish about this big. And then I was almost bit in the face by a shark. And I was like, yo, I'm done spearfishing. I'm not really trying to get back in this water unless we got a water challenge. So there ain't no way in hell I'd be swimming across nothing like that because don't y'all got sharks and stuff over there too? Like, ain't that scary? Like, I couldn't do it. I just couldn't. I couldn't get in.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an Orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Plus, you'd freeze, like you said. Like, I can't do cold water.
Yeah.
No, forget that. Not up my alley. Survivor, not eating, I'm okay with. But, yo, I ain't swimming in no channel. That's crazy. But I can see how that would be tough to put weight on to do that, though. Go ahead, Tim.
In the circle, didn't you have some water time on the roof, James?
The hot tub.
I only went in there two or three times. All the times I went in there, are you talking about the jacuzzi thing? Yeah,
I probably went in there
3 times.
I only went in there once, and that was reluctantly, but but they made the most of it when I was there.
I loved it in there. It was very. But the thing is, it's so nice just to get to see the outside, because obviously in the flat you can't even open a window or anything.
You can't.
So just to get out there as someone who's been quite an outdoorsy, sporty person. You know, I just tried to get out there as often as I could, but yeah, I was just walking around the roof like it was like a prison yard.
Like a tiger.
Walking around in circles.
Like a tiger in a zoo.
Yeah, exactly. Absolutely.
Yeah.
No, James, I have to get on to. I've got so many questions for you, and we're getting distracted. So, and it's normally me who does the distractions.
I'm sorry.
No, it's fine. I'm delighted.
I'm going to watch season 39 because I'm fascinated. But sorry, yeah,
I'm suddenly aware that after this show, which probably is the last one we're going to do on the circle for a while. After this show, I have to go back to watching Survivor, and I'm thinking, oh my goodness, I've got to set that up. Now, James, do you think deceit is a problem? How was it being a catfish? Do you think deceit, does deceit come naturally?
No, I mean, the trouble for me being that catfish is that I hadn't heard of the show when they approached me. And when they approached me, I was literally clapping for the carers, and they rang me up. They rang me up and they said, have you heard of the show now? And I said, what's it about? They said, it's a popularity contest. And I said, well, there's no one more popular than a nurse, right? Because I'd literally just been clapping for the carers. Yeah. Anyway, when we came to chatting about what I wanted to be, I said, well, I want to be an aerobics instructor, and my parents own a gym. I always wanted to be female because that was the challenge. But by this point, they'd got the nurse in their head, and they said, no, we really want you to be a nurse. And I said, well, I can't pretend to be a nurse just because I wouldn't get away with it. How about if I'm a trainee nurse? I'm still in a robe. No, they want you as a nurse. So really, the nurse thing, which I think the hardest part of it, was their decision. And then when I went on as a nurse, I had to then do all this research into nursing. And I was very uncomfortable with the deception of being a nurse, because it just obviously just didn't sit well with me for everything that's going on.
Mm-hmm.
That was, I mean, I think you can see that. Any nurse thing I was trying to swerve out of, but you know, it would have been much better if I'd been the aerobics instructor, because I've been so much more comfortable.
Much
more free flowing rather than
you would have also had a reason
in their head that this was going to be
as the aerobics
actually a female nurse.
Yeah, as the aerobics instructor, you would have also had a reason why you were there in the first place. As a nurse, how could you possibly have taken time off during a pandemic to go and play a game? Nobody asked you this question.
I should have
stuck your ground.
Yeah, in hindsight, I should have stuck to my guns and stuck with what I wanted, you know. But, you know, I didn't make a big fight over it. I thought, well, fair enough, if that's what they want to do, then I just kind of went along with it. But it was that was quite uncomfortable for me to do.
You see, part of the problem of being recruited. So although some people have applied to be on the show, very few who were successful. In my experience, I think one in my series, a few more in your series. But the moment you're recruited, you're so flattered, and it happens so quickly. And certainly in my experience, it happens so fast. You sort of go along and you think, oh, how lovely. You actually think I'm important. How nice. And I'm so needy anyway.
I just sort of went along with that.
Tell me.
They initially contacted me and we put it to the agent, and they said, are you doing a celebrity show? Because I've been a reserve on 3 or 4 celebrity reality shows in the past.
Yeah.
And they said, no, we're not doing one. Anyway, so this kind of went on, and I kept saying, look, this is a really odd choice for this, just because I've been on a big show for 10 years. I don't understand why. No, don't worry, it's going to be great. We had Richard Madeley on. So fair enough. We end up in the isolation for a week in Manchester. I'm on the 19th floor of these flats. The lift opens, and I bump into Pete Wicks, who's a good friend of mine. And I went, Pete, he went, James. I said, oh, my God, what are you doing here? And he said, this. And I said, yeah. So we kind of were like kids in this corridor, thinking we were going to be on the show together. So yeah. He then went off to his room. I went off to my room. We were super excited. We're kind of texting each other. And I said, right, so we're here for a week. And he said, no, I'm going tomorrow, mate. And that's when I found out there was a celebrity show. So that lie or misleading or whatever you want to call it, put me in a very I went in so paranoid, thinking, why are they getting me in here? That was really all was spiraled downhill from that single right. moment, bumping into him in the lift.
There's a little bit of a problem. They didn't explain to me very early on about catfishing. I didn't know what it was. But I think if they'd given me that quite at the beginning, I would probably have, I probably thought, oh my God, I'm so sorry. I think if I'd worked out what catfishing was and I'd worked out that this was a show about deception, I wouldn't have been that surprised about elements of deceit which took place. And, you know, James, this is a show which is predicated on deceit. Why would we be surprised if people don't practice their deceit in real life as well as on the show? You know, it just seems people who are lying just lie. That's what they do. You don't expect a snake to curl up and be attentive. You expect it to bite.
I suppose
you.
In my head, again, we're all different beasts to what threshold we have. I thought there would be a line to how much the production. And again, I've got no beef with any of the contestants. I barely met any of them. You know, I've been in touch with a few, but we literally met for 5 or 10 minutes at the end. But I thought the production would control the deceit a bit better, to how far it went. You know, they could control that as much, or they could create it as much as little as possible. And that was always the problem I had, that they were letting it get away with them. And I could just see them rubbing their hands together when something happened and it went a bit far. And obviously there's a lot that you don't see, because it is brilliantly edited. Let's be honest. When you see it edited, it's so slick. And people will say to me, my God, that show looks so much fun. It looks amazing. And even when I watched it back, I went, my God, it looks so good. But that wasn't the journey that we had. It wasn't and some of the conversations that went on after some of the things were.
We come back to the same thing I said earlier, that, you know, Tim Harkett is a genius. And probably he's the brains behind this show. And he's the reason I think that the good things work so well. But somehow there's this darkness which gets in. Now, I've collected some quotations, because we mustn't forget that we're really supposed to be talking about
the USA version.
Season 2 of the USA, which of course we're doing. But look,
we never do.
No, we do. We're terribly well behaved. What I found in the USA version towards the end, there's two final shows. There's the final, and then there's another show which is a sort of meet up afterwards, and I've actually watched both of them. I watched them both today, and what's fascinating is the person who has all the big quotes, because each time, you remember, most of the shows I've got my list of interesting quotations. All the quotations, with one exception, are from a person who's British called Chloe, and she's a YouTuber or something.
I love Chloe. She's hilarious.
She's come out. Just think how brilliant this is about catfishing. She says to Delisa, who's the person who wins. Oh, sorry, spoiler. She says, "I'm not smart enough to pull off what you just pulled off." I think you always have to say that in context, of course. And I just think that's very clever. That's very clever. And then she also says, "I don't get this tactic talk. I honestly haven't got the brain power to catfish." So, James, where did you get? Did you feel that it was really tough catfishing? Did you have to have charts and all these? Because I didn't see you doing a lot of paperwork.
Well, the thing is, obviously, it didn't make sense for me to go in as James Crossley, Hunter from Gladiators. So I thought the challenge, because again, being competitive, was to go in as a female.
Yeah.
And then just try and get away with that. So I quite enjoyed that. I met with my girlfriend and a few of her friends beforehand, and they kind of gave me everything from clothes to makeup, and I had notes on all of that. Yeah. But the reality was none of that chat really came up. Mm-hmm. And you kind of just go along with the chats that flow of it, and you don't really have these conversations about what do you do this. Well, but I did a lot of research on kind of female options and what TV shows they'd watch and what music they would like, because obviously I was playing someone who was a lot younger than me as well.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, on the US,
that's a double whammy.
On the US version, there was actually a man who was playing a woman. Jax was playing Emily in the US version this season, and they asked him a makeup question, right?
They got him to make up a
well. First,
a dummy.
One of the challenges was they had to make up a dummy head and put makeup on it and fix it and this, that, and the other. And he's playing a girl, and the kid could not do makeup. So instantly, as soon as that challenge happened, people's like, yo, this is a man. And then they turned around and was asking him what's his favorite makeups and stuff. And he didn't have none. He was not prepared for that at all.
Right.
And the challenge was what really sunk his game. Because after that, he was voted out immediately after that. Yeah. And it's because he cannot come through with knowing what girls know. You know what I mean? So you actually played very well. And I'm surprised that there wasn't more questions to try to out you, so to speak. You said there wasn't a lot of questions that they try to ask you and stuff. Because if it would have been me, I would have been throwing out everything but the kitchen sink to see. But maybe it was just that they thought you were a catfish, but they thought you were just like another woman playing. You know, maybe that's why they didn't ask you.
Maybe, like, yeah.
But it's kind of cool.
Because obviously you only see one dimension, don't you, of what goes on. Yeah. So I was under the impression that I wasn't really under suspicion of being a catfish. But after that assassin, there was this assassin mission. Mm-hmm. Everybody turned against me, and, you know, there was no going back after that.
But surely, it
was over. I was out. Whatever.
Everybody turned against you because the circle outed you as the assassin, which I don't understand.
I don't think that was really clear.
And also, they weren't really clear. I had another meeting with production because they didn't initially let them know that I'd have been out if I hadn't let him out. So they all turned against me. Then 2 days later, they set another message up just to let you know Gemma would have been voted out if Billy hadn't gone. But by that point, the damage was done, and you could see certain contestants turned against me. And you could see actually when it was in that voting thing, because the whole time I'd been there in like casual tops and, you know, tracksuit bottoms, and the last day I'm there in jeans and my best top and a posh hat, you know, all ready to leave.
Yeah, there you go. I'm glad you put the hat on.
Snap. Now we've all got hats on.
Yeah, there you go.
I was feeling you were the odd one out, James.
By that point, I was like desperate to go out, but they didn't make it easy for me because, you know, I had to go and see Manrika at like 3 a.m. Then what you have to do is walk down the corridor, because they have this posh corridor that they film that you're walking. Then you have to go and speak to the other contestants. By this time, it's 4:45, 4:30. And at this point, I was so angry with how they treated me. The video of me telling the contestants good luck, I literally look like I've been dug out the ground. I'm just fire coming out of my eyes. Then they say, go and see a psychotherapist who's saying, are you all right? And I'm going,
No.
So it's just never ending.
I'm surprised she was awake at that time of the day.
Well, it was probably 7 by then. It was probably 7 by then. That's her hours. They used them up
until
her hours.
No, it was just
right.
It was the wrong time to put me in a room with her. That's for sure.
I'm so sorry.
That's crazy. Well, the U.S. version was actually won by a catfish. Tim had said it a little bit earlier. Delicia, is her name Delicia? I want to say
Delisa, I think.
Delisa, she was playing as her husband Trevor, and she actually took home the victory. I thought she played great.
But it's very exciting. During her time while she was playing on the circle, she took a test and realized she was pregnant.
Oh yeah.
It's amazing.
Yeah, so it's like a little circle baby, kind of, sort of, you know.
I don't think that had anything to do with any of the other players. But yeah. Or indeed with the voice of God.
Tim, oh Lord.
But no, there's this really lovely scene in the reunion show where Courtney, who I thought was going to win, is wearing yellow and she's wearing yellow, and he says, you know, sort of snap, it's we're both looking good in yellow. And right. she was looking gorgeous.
I think Courtney played like a really, really good game. But the problem was that he was kind of like you, Tim. He was riding high for so long, like being everybody's friend and this, that, and the other. He had rode high for so long. I think when you do that, I don't think you can win in the very end. Because what happens is your friends are like, okay, I'm going to put them down here now. And they put other people up higher.
Well, you know what I mean? They're only going to do that if they've been educated by Survivor. If on the other hand they were sort of an innocent like me, they would vote you know, who they like. I put Woody right up at the top, and right. You know, there was no way I was going to vote tactically on that final.
That's the way the most players today,
that's the way intelligent players vote. Yeah, yes, I know, Elaine.
Strategically
I take the hit.
You got Courtney and Lee
with your heart, Tim.
You had Courtney and Lee, who were basically best friends the entire show, and you see Lee, who is the older gentleman who is playing catfish, a younger man, and when he votes, did he vote Courtney up high? He votes with his heart, right? Didn't he?
He had this debate, and it was really good. He was saying, I've got to make a decision with my head.
I thought he voted him up high. I thought he put him at one. I know Courtney didn't do the same for him.
Did he not?
Somebody in the chat could tell us, because I'm not sure.
We have to have somebody from the chat who's been watching the USA Circle attentively.
I thought Lee put Courtney up top, and then Courtney put Lee at the bottom, and they kind of canceled each other out.
I think we need to sidestep very, very nicely here. But Elaine, there was something I noticed about Chloe.
You go straight to the gutter every time.
Straight to the gutter. No, in this case, I want to go to Chloe's legs, because she's got writing on her thighs. It reminded me, Tim. Yeah, James knows about these things as well. But it reminded me it's like looking at Prison Break, James. When I was first teaching,
the code.
Some of my students who are a bit naughty and from strange countries used to write things on their legs, particularly the girls. And then sort of look at the answer.
Oh, cheating! For cheating.
What I would like to know is what is written there. Is it chemistry? Did this help with sort of exams or something? I don't know anyway. And now the other question I've got for James: do you know what a belfy is?
A what?
No.
A belfy.
What is it?
Do you not know?
No.
Look, we've got here. Lee rated Courtney high. Courtney rated tactically and put Lee in third. There we are. We knew somebody would be brilliant and tell us.
Pugwash,
I love Captain Pugwash, by the way. Pugwash says, James was edited to seem really mean when he met Manrika. I agree. And Heidi says, the celebrity UK circle, the regular UK circle and the US circle were all won by women catfishing as men. Do you think that's a coincidence? Well, I did predict. James
is like,
I'm Googling Belfie. Yeah, I'm Googling Belfie. I don't want to be beaten.
Because one can. So have you got it yet? Because this came out
in
the B-E-L-F-I-E, I believe. It's like selfie, but Belfie. Right. Yes, it is. It is. It is. It's a bum selfie or a bottom selfie, or in American language, a butt selfie.
A butt selfie.
With inspirational quotation.
There you go. there you go.
It's not quite Wii fan, but it's well on the way.
That's hilarious.
There were two things which came out in that final show. One was the belfie, and I'd never heard of a belfie in my life before. But I hadn't heard of a selfie, and Lee managed to articulate it. He thought a selfie was in exactly the same way I thought a selfie, and Lee thought a selfie was something rather dodgy that you wouldn't do in public. And so I was surprised when I didn't know about selfies until I came out of the circle, and all right. These people were asking me for selfies, and I thought, in the street.
Oh my God, Tim!
Oh,
you didn't give him a belfie. A belfie, yes. and now, but in terms of dogs, dogs is the other one. So we've got your dogs, we've got my cat, and do you know who made a surprise appearance in the final of the American circle? It was Lance Bass's dog, and Lance Bass's dog is called Dale.
It's a Yorkie, right? Was it a Yorkie?
It was quite small.
Yeah, I think it was a Yorkie.
It was quite small. I thought it was lovely.
They should have a dog circle. That would be cool.
I think they should have a dog circle. Now, James, what's your breed? Because I know you had stuff to do about with greyhound rescue in the past, but you don't.
Yeah,
have
I did, but it was. No, I don't. That was a bit of a strange one. They just asked me to help promote just let people know about greyhounds, because what happens is the male greyhounds, especially when they finish racing, they were just getting shot, and what they wanted to do was rehome them. So I was doing awareness to greyhounds.
Would that include lurchers as well?
That's what. This was just greyhounds, because it was all to do with the greyhound racing tracks, and a lot of them had been found that they'd been owned when they stopped greyhound racing, that they just got. So they were just trying to rehome them, but. The thing is, I'd never had a greyhound. I didn't, you know, I had nothing really in common greyhounds. I was just trying to help them out, like as a charity.
Yeah.
That's
your dogs are what?
Bulldogs.
There we are. British bulldogs.
Bulldogs.
Which bulldogs. I love.
One's a British bulldog, and one's an old time bulldog.
Like the bulldog that Bill Sykes has got in Oliver.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah.
I look a little bit like Oliver.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Here's our cue.
Please, Tim, can I have some
more? Can I have some more? Yeah.
100%. More?
There's a role for you.
I'm just not sure I'm the Harry Secombe. I've got the Harry Secombe voice. You know, Oliver. Right. But what you've also gone down the ginster pasties route, James.
Ginster pasties.
He's like,
yeah, you were promoting ginster pasties as well, I think. And something I really want to know.
I mean,
believe me.
Ginster pasty. It was. I mean, I don't remember that, but maybe when I was a gladiator, I went to do ginster pasties. But
maybe. But the other one is something in Scotland. It's called Dinny Stones. What on earth are these in Glasgow? A Dinny Stone.
Oh, I had a record for lifting the Dinny Stones. Yeah.
What are they? What are they?
They're just two ancient stones on rusty rings, and the world record is for how long you can hold them off the ground. So I did that about 3 years ago, 4 years ago.
Wait, how much do they weigh? How much do they weigh?
So the front one's 188 kilos, the back one's 144. So combined, 344.
What's that in American weight? Because I don't know what I'm doing.
3.2.
Told you, I'm not good at math.
Okay, so 344 times 2. 7.56 pounds.
756
each altogether.
Yeah, so
pounds.
It's a grip together. So I held them for 35 seconds. It's a grip record. So you hold it off the floor.
Wow. Yes, I can't even hold my dew for that long. I can't even hold my Mountain Dew.
It sounds much smaller in pounds.
Yeah, it really does, right? It's like, yo.
I'm gonna say every weight I lift in pounds now. Forget kilos.
Well, so, when Tim talks money, when he talks money, he talks weight. Like, I don't know what it is in terms of American to the UK. Like, I'm always asking questions about that, because I'm not the sharpest tool in the shed. So, yeah, like if I was like, Tim, you owe me money, he'd be like, oh, it's only 1 pound. I wouldn't know what the hell he was giving me. I'd have no idea.
I remember being in Greece at the point when we moved from drachma to euros. It was very confusing, and it brought back memories of D-Day, decimalization day in 1971 when I was at school, and that was terrifying. But anyway, look, James.
Sorry, my phone's about to run out.
So oh God, I'm really? Phone point here. So sorry. So sorry.
Yeah. Oh Christ.
So sorry. We'll switch.
That's
we'll
all
switch,
good.
Switch off in about 5 minutes. So let's just let's try. Oh, have we lost him?
I think his phone died.
Oh my God. Oh my God. Oh no 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 no.
He'll
pop back in a minute. Well, let's hope he does pop back in a minute. Because I've still got some questions for James from some of the viewers.
Ask me the question. I'll try to answer as James. What's the question?
Ah, all right. Well, the question is, why did you choose not to tell the other circle members that you had dogs there? So if you had dogs in the circle, wouldn't you be romping around telling everybody you have a dog?
I wouldn't want them to be jealous, because it's like they would be like, well, why didn't I bring my pet? So I would have told them. I would have kept it to myself too. It's like, and like you said that because you had your cat, it actually benefited you because they brought in fans and stuff, and it's super hot in there. So that's actually an advantage in the game. So why would you want to share with other people that you have an advantage?
James is back. James is back. There we are. James. James.
Sorry, guys. Yeah. Phone's, I'm literally hugging a phone point now.
I'm so sorry. Why did you not tell the other circle members that you had that you had dogs in there?
Oh, I did. I told them I had one dog.
Oh, really? Did you tell them?
Yeah.
Later on, did you tell them later on, or did you tell them in the beginning, right off
the
bat?
No, beginning. In my bio, at the beginning, it said I had a dog.
Did you say you had one dog?
I thought I know for a fact that they weren't. It was difficult to get a pet in there, and if they knew I was taking two pets in there, it wouldn't sound real.
Oh,
because a lot of people didn't believe I had one dog in there, and I thought if I said I was having two dogs in there, it would sound like I was making it up. That's why.
You see, Cy should have brought his two dogs in with him, and he was in series one. He was in series two with me, and he didn't, and he would have been. He would have been unbeatable with two dogs. One of the things I didn't understand was why the production didn't use your dogs more. Why there weren't lingering dog shots? There was a shot of one of your dogs peeing on the other. Apparently,
she wasn't actually peeing. She was just licking her. Yeah,
in an intimate way.
Yeah, but she wasn't peeing. I mean, you know, she wouldn't pee on her face.
That
was classic journalism. Yeah.
Yeah. There's pages of this stuff, James, on the internet.
Yeah, I said I wouldn't do the show without them, and they said, well, we don't normally. I know you had a cat, but they weren't, and then they just said, fine, bring the dogs. But you know, for me, it wasn't worth leaving them and sorting someone to look after them. So they just said, fine, we're going to work it out. So that's why. But I knew how hard it was for me to get them on, in a sense, but they trouble they went to. So I think if I said I had two dogs, it would have sounded a little bit where he's making that up. And most of them didn't believe I had one dog. They thought I was making that up until, you know.
I don't remember how I got to the point where I agreed to take Bay into the circle. I can't imagine.
Did they ask you, Tim, or did you be like, oh, I have to bring my cat?
No, because I had a choice, and I chose Bay rather than Hannum. I really was planning to take the older cat, but I was very worried she might die while I was there.
Since we're on the air, I just want to put this out there. Jeff Probst, if you're listening, can I bring my dog on Survivor, please and thank you? All right, I just hadn't said it. Because that would be amazing.
Idea.
If I could have my dog on Survivor, I could like teach him how to like
survive.
Hunt. Yeah, I could teach him how to like track and... Yo, I'd bring me a beagle dog and we'd be hunting some birds. Like, oh, that would be amazing. Y'all got super lucky that you could take an animal along with you in the reality show journey.
Yeah, I mean, that's to be fair, cool. that without them, I wouldn't have gone. It would have been a nightmare. And you know, I never felt that being on my own, I never felt on my own because I live on my own with the two dogs anyway. So I never felt isolated at all. It was other factors that were problematic, but not being on my own.
Right.
It also gives you a focus for when you're talking. You're not just talking at the wall. You're engaging with personalities in the room. at least in my case, Bay wasn't really very interested in a lot of the stuff. But I'm entertained. So you had one camera, one producer entirely focused on your dogs, because
they had dog cam. They kept saying to me, "We've got one camera that's on the dogs all the time." And yeah, they could have made a bit more of them because they were so funny. There was one scene, and I can't believe they didn't show it, where it was they were literally jumping all over my head, and it was hilarious. And for some reason they didn't use it, but I think they were so paranoid about dog somebody saying it was unfair on the dogs or whatever, that the question I got asked most was who walked the dogs. So right. I think they were very wary about what to show and what not to show.
Well, I think it has more to do with the fact that they were kind of pitching you as like kind of like a villain, and so they didn't want to show a softer side of you. So that's just my take on it.
I don't know. I mean, I thought they were on there quite a bit, actually. I mean, everyone talked about the dogs, so I mean, yeah, not as much as they maybe could have been, but
They were the stars. They were the stars. They should have been given. Yeah,
they could have really. They probably didn't want them to take over too much, you know.
Oh, I think they should have done
too much of the stars.
It would have been a lot better.
Yeah. How are they?
Okay, so little.
Has she moved? Oh, how lovely!
Oh, she's so cute. I'm just going to come to your house and hang out with your dogs, because I love dogs.
Yeah, she's gorgeous.
She's a baby.
Well, Tim, have we covered everything that we needed to cover this time?
I know we haven't. No, we have. I think we've covered everything I wanted to cover.
Did you ask all the questions? Because I know you said you had a lot of questions for James.
I had lots of questions, but I haven't asked a lot of the questions because you've actually, James, you actually advanced most of the answers.
One question I'd like to ask you just before we go, because I know the Circle hasn't been recommissioned by Channel 4. What do you think the reason is?
Well, I think, it makes no sense for Channel 4 to say after three seasons it doesn't want to recommission it. I also had heard about 4 weeks ago that it had been recommissioned. So I suspect there's a better offer on the table from Netflix or something.
And you think it's going to switch to a different channel?
I think so. I think so. And I think this stirs up an opportunity for fans to be saying, "Oh, please, please, please save the Circle," and see how much how much affection there is for it. I think there's a lot of affection for it because, as I say, I think people look at season one and people look at season two and they think, this is what we want. I think, I was certainly very disappointed with season three.
I think the popularity is there, so I think that it would not be smart. They would actually be losing out on some money if they dropped it. If it was completely dropped off the face of the earth, somebody would be losing out on something. And I don't think that like Netflix, I think Netflix would jump on it to cash in on that.
Equally, I know that the block of flats in Salford, the big Circle sign has gone, and I believe the blocks are now for, I believe the apartments are now for sale or to rent anyway. So if you want a piece of television history, you go to.
If you are a realtor and you are trying to sell those, you'd be like, that's how you pitch it. You know what I mean? You'd like give.
Well, you can have your own little action figure. You can have your action figure on the door,
You're gonna have to paint a circle on his chest now, or on his back.
On his back, I'm afraid, rather like a target, James. Look, it's been such a pleasure. I would hope the Circle does continue, but I hope it reforms, and I hope production. Pays attention and looks at the statistics, the viewing figures, and so on, and looks at and listens to the feedback, because they had a great thing there, and by darkening it, they know what happens when Big Brother darkened. It sort of it set the clock ticking for its end. Mm. Do we want nasty TV when we've all been locked up for the last 18
months?
Well, this
is the trouble. We're in a kind of phase of mindfulness and being kind to each other and looking after each other. And for me, it just kind of threw all that away. So, hopefully, if it does go to Netflix, at least they'll take on board some of the feedback, and maybe it could still be a brilliant show without having all those elements in. It could still be an absolutely brilliant show, you know?
Yeah, right. I think so. I mean, you know, to we need to resell it as a show about friendship and kindness. I would be the first.
It can still have, you know, it can still have all sorts.
It can still have the twists. The twists are not bad. It was the way the twists were engineered, and you know, and it's just.
Yeah, the reality shows that are out there now, they should take pages out of like the MTV Challenge notebook. They've been on for, I want to say 20 years. Survivor's been on for 20 years. And they found something that works. And MTV is super great with like, you know, diversifying the cast. Is they don't put up with any kind of bullying. If you was on MTV Challenge and you tweeted something that was hateful or disrespectful or you know, they cut your ass off. You are dead to them. So like, I think these other shows could really pull from, you know, like especially the Challenge, because the Challenge has been super great with doing stuff like that. They could really pull from their example. And kind of, you know, base themselves in that and then have longevity. You know what I mean? Because I'm with you guys. I think that the more kindness and caring and aspects, the feel good TV, like I honestly think that sells more. So let's roll with that. You know, get on board, people. Let's go, you know. So hopefully they'll
do
that.
Guys, well, thank you for having me on. And hopefully we've
James, how can we find you?
Best place is Instagram, really. It's the only social I really use. So Mr. James Crossley, that's where I am. And everything's kind of linked to that.
And Elaine, where do we find you?
At ElaineStott32 on Instagram or Twitter. I don't get on Twitter that much. So I'm like, James, I'm an Instagram person. So holler at me on Instagram. You holler at me, I holler at you. I love talking to the fans.
And I'm under at Professor_Tim_Wilson on Instagram. And I'm prof_Tim_Wilson in Twitter.
And I've got
this thing on YouTube called Zontul Films Limited, which is ZONTULFILMSLTD, and in American it's ZON, which Zontul is my partner's name. It means high mountain. It's all so exciting. Anyway, look, Elaine, bring us. I was going to say bring us off, but that's rude, isn't it? I can't say
bring us home.
I just want to thank everybody for tuning in, and those that watch after the fact, that we appreciate it so much. We've really enjoyed covering the circle, semi-covering the circle, I want to say, because we don't necessarily talk about the version of it we were supposed to. But we really do appreciate all the love and support and the questions and everything. And me and Tim just enjoy, I call it shooting the shit. And so thank everybody for allowing us to be a part of your day for a hot minute. And thank Johnny Fairplay and Zach for helping us along this journey, because we're not like technologically savvy. Is that what it's called? We're not smart, basically. In the technical field, we have no idea what the hell we're doing. So just thank everybody across the board. It's been super cool to be able to do this, especially with my sidekick, my man, Tim Wilson, and actually all the cool people that we got to meet. James, you included. I totally think of you different now, son. I thought you was a jerk before, but now I understand you on a different level. So I'm so glad you got to come on and explain yourself, because it makes a lot of sense now, because I when I watched it, I wasn't looking at from like a how things are being edited point of view.
Yeah, but now that's the thing, isn't it? You're only seeing one dimension of the reality, but anyway, you know,
right.
It is what it is. That's why I haven't really talked about the show. I've not done any press, and I haven't talked about my Instagram, because it's just like, where do you stop? You know,
right.
So this is James, really one of the only things I've done.
James,
since,
you
connected very early on, so it's nice to actually chat.
To me, from the moment I saw you, I thought you were wonderful. I still think you're wonderful.
And I love your dogs. I'll dog sit for you any day. You just let me know. I'll come over. I'll fly over across the pond. So. But all thanks, right, guys. We really do appreciate it.
Okay. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye, everybody.